Hey, John Ojaka here, and it is now 2021, and if you're hoping to take your music career to the next level this year, but you could use a little one-on-one help from a music marketing consultant such as myself, then head on over to musicmarketingmanifesto.com/work-with-John. I'm now taking clients for the new year, but slots are filling up fast. In a private consulting session, my time is essentially yours, and we can discuss your music career, review your music, ad campaigns, landing pages, funnel content, anything you want, really, and I can help you come up with a game plan for getting unstuck for the new year. I'm now taking clients for 2021, but spots are limited, so be sure to act fast. Once more, just head on over to musicmarketingmanifesto.com/work-with-John to learn more about booking a private session now.
You're listening to the Music Marketing Manifesto podcast, where you'll learn how you can use direct-to-fan marketing strategies to grow your fan base and generate income from your music with no record label, radio airplay, touring, or press. And I'm your host, John Ojaka.
All right, John Ojaka here, and thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Music Marketing Manifesto podcast. Well, as I mentioned at the top of this episode, it is a new year. It is 2021. And needless to say, last year was not so great. It's been really tough for many people around the world. We're obviously in the middle of a global pandemic. Musicians have been hit particularly hard in more ways than one, but specifically as it pertains to our careers, for many, depending again on where you are in the world, revenue from live shows is all but dried up. Unfortunately, we're not off to a wonderful start with 2021. There's obviously a lot of turmoil out there in the world, and I'm not so convinced that things are going to smooth out anytime soon, but I don't know. Fingers crossed. All we can do is our best, and all we can do is prepare for the future as humans and as musicians. So we're going to talk a bit about that. But what I wanted to talk about specifically in this episode what I want to talk about are these coming changes, potential changes to Facebook advertising and Instagram advertising. Whenever we talk about Facebook advertising, we are also talking about Instagram advertising because they own Instagram, as most of you probably know. It's been floating around, you're reading headlines lately, things like, is this the end of Facebook advertising because of some coming changes to Apple's terms of service? And that's what we're basically going to be talking about today. Now, spoiler alert, I don't think most musicians have too much to worry about, but there are things to be aware of. I don't think there's any need for panic, but that's basically what I'm going to be running you through on this episode. I'm going to be talking about these coming changes, what they are, what you need to know, how they may or may not affect you. I do want to kind of preface this with the simple reality that we don't really know what's going to happen just yet. It may be worse than I think it's going to be, but I don't think that it's going to affect musicians too dramatically. So this is what's going on if you haven't heard about it. iOS 14, which is already out, is going to update soon. And with that update, anyone using any app, at least per my understanding, is going to be prompted with a little message that says, are you basically willing to pass on your data to this app or this service? And again, the language won't be exactly that, but it'll be something along those lines. And this is just for iOS 14 users. So, at least initially, it may not, or Android, we may not need to worry about this when we're targeting Android users. It's likely not to be an issue, with people using desktop browsers. But obviously iPhone users are a huge cross section of our users, potentially the most important cross section of our users. And the fear is that they're all going to click, no, I don't want to pass my data. And that has the potential to really mess with the way Facebook's algorithm works. Not the organic Facebook algorithm so much as the advertising platform. Right now, when we use Facebook, we're doing we're relying, we're benefiting from the amount of data that they have access to tremendously. When we target people, let's say you're running an ad and you're targeting people who like Bob Dylan, my sort of default example audience. You're not just, you know, it's not like Facebook just loads up 5 million Bob Dylan fans and starts randomly feeding them to you. Well, to some extent, they do initially. But very quickly, what happens is that based on whatever the objective is of your ad campaign, so let's say you want leads, let's say you want conversions, people who are signing up to your site to maybe, you know, get on your mailing list and get some free music. Maybe if that's the objective of your campaign, what's happening is as those first 5, 10, 15, 20, however many subscribers come in, the algorithm is looking at patterns in those accounts and it's creating a segment and it's applying it to the Bob Dylan audience. So you're initially targeting a very small segment of those 5 million Bob Dylan fans that all most closely match one another, or match this new segment profile of the people that are ultimately signing up to your mailing list. They're cloning your audience essentially, and then applying that filter to your audience. And that algorithm is incredibly powerful because Facebook has access to so much data. Their pixel is everywhere. They have partnerships with an enormous cross section. Of the web. And now when a person says, no, I don't want to share my data, Facebook is being cut off from an enormous amount of data. So that could mean, and this is certainly the fear that is floating around out there, that could mean that they are much less successful at targeting or narrowing down your audience and creating these optimized segments for you. It could mean that they are less effective at retargeting. So if you're not familiar with retargeting, aka remarketing, this is when we go and we run ads to people that have already been exposed to a certain page on your website or a certain post or, you know, a certain ad. It almost certainly will affect people that are advertising to the audience network. So this, again, has got everyone riled up. There are different opinions on how it's going to affect us. Most people are considering this to be, you know, a reasonably significant speed bump ahead of us. And I would agree with that to some extent. But I think for the most part, this is something that is going to affect more traditional, larger advertisers much more than it is going to affect us. And when I say us, I'm talking about musicians, but I'm specifically talking about musicians who are kind of following the strategy that I've been laying out in Music Marketing Manifesto all these years. Where, again, a lot of the advice that you see floating around out there, you know, if you become a student of marketing, whether it's music marketing through me or somebody else, there's a very good chance you start following more traditional marketing experts. And that's great. I've learned a lot through those people as well. But it's really important to also be out there testing, because what works when marketing music doesn't always work when marketing traditional products, and vice versa. We really are doing our own things, and the buying triggers, the unique selling proposition of music is very different than the average USP or unique selling proposition of a traditional product. So all of those massive advertisers that are spending thousands of dollars a day trying to convert complete strangers with broad offers, you know, be it Coca-Cola or weight loss pills, they may be somewhat significantly affected, at least at first. However, as what I teach musicians to do, what I've been teaching musicians to do for about a decade now, is to use things like Facebook ads, now Instagram ads, even Twitter ads, and some of the other platforms that are available to you, but I do rely largely on Facebook and Instagram, to drive traffic to a landing page, a squeeze page that is designed to give away a little bit of music in order to get people or to entice people to sign up to your mailing list. And from there, we have an automated email series that takes over, builds a relationship with those fans, builds that bond, creates that interest and that desire, and ultimately sells stuff to them. And then we continue to sell stuff to that list over the coming years. And as long as we're spending less acquiring subscribers than we are generating from those subscribers, you know, and that might be immediately or it might be over 6 months, but as long as we're ultimately making more off of them, then our career can grow and eventually it begins to grow exponentially. And it works really, really well. And it continues to work in the streaming age. We pivot all over the place. But it's very, very effective. And as far as I'm concerned, it's the only way that a large percentage of musicians can expect to thrive. It's not the only way that musicians can succeed, but it is in my opinion, it is the strategy that will benefit the highest cross section or the largest cross section of musicians, if compared to all the other sort of marketing techniques that are out there. Anyway, so that's because of the strategy that I and now many others teach, we control a huge amount of that data already. You know, when people are signing up to our mailing list or landing on our own websites, we control that information. We can still upload our information to Facebook. Things that happen on Facebook and on Instagram will all still be trackable. And things that happen on your website will still all be trackable. We can still pass all that information. We'll still have the pixel on our site. So we're still in really, really good shape. We'll still be able to retarget. We'll still be able to optimize our ad campaigns. There will still be workarounds. Now, it will affect things like audience network, or has the potential to. I don't rely much on the audience network occasionally, but I certainly don't rely on it. I do use it occasionally. I don't teach others to rely on it. So the fact that this is likely to potentially hurt the audience network doesn't concern me all that much. And the other thing to, of course, remember is that Facebook is an auction system. So if there, let's say worst case scenario, it's worse than I think it is going to be, and it does hurt advertisers across the board, it's going to hurt all advertisers. And you know, the sort of beauty of capitalism, at least in this scenario, is that we're already all paying as much as we can afford to pay, at least as an average across the platform. And if it affects you, it's affecting other people. And so it could devalue the Facebook ad platform, which should bring down your prices if it brings up your performance. Again, that won't happen across the board. There could be some people that don't adapt and are left behind. But as a whole, you know, across the board, it should average out. Now, I've been at this a really long time. I believe it was 2009. I ran my first Facebook ad, as basically as it, whenever the ad platform came out. I've been working online since around 2006, which is ancient in internet years. And as soon as that platform, you know, opened up to ads, I got involved with it. And I believe it was around 2009 I started running ads. And way back then, we didn't have conversion tracking. We didn't have retargeting and remarketing. Our objectives was traffic, and we did the optimization on our end, meaning, you know, Facebook sent us traffic. We had to just be smart with our targeting, and we had to do the testing on our side and just, you know, make changes to our copy until we stumbled upon the winning combination of copy, music, emails, graphics, and everything else that worked with the traffic sources that Facebook was giving us. And I don't expect us to, you know, these are sort of the dark ages of advertising. I do not expect us to go back to that, but that's an absolute worst case scenario that, again, I'm extremely confident is not going to happen. But if it did, there's no reason to think we couldn't adapt, pivot, with some pretty minor changes, given that our approach is so simple compared to what the massive advertisers are ultimately doing. But we could go back to that and we would still thrive. Funny enough, I've been targeting about $1 per lead for about a decade now. So the meaning, even without those tools, I was spending around a buck a lead. Well, targeting again, my prices are all over the chart. Sometimes I pay 50 cents, sometimes I pay $3. It just depends on the project. But that has been my average and my go-to sort of target price per lead, and what I've taught others to target. And it remains that way a decade later. So long story short, I'm not terribly concerned about these coming changes. I don't think you need to be either. Again, if you are engaged in the kind of direct to fan marketing that I teach, however, I think what you're going to see is that more and more advertisers start turning to lead generation if this ultimately gets bad. That's certainly the chatter that's out there, because when you are generating the leads, when you control the leads, you can easily pass that information to Facebook. And again, when people are on your website, you can also pass that information to Facebook. So because, you know, you'll be required to have your own privacy policy, as we all really ultimately are, and you can state the fact that you are collecting data. And so long as you're doing all of that, then everything is kosher. And again, this isn't a law. It just has to do with Apple's new sort of privacy policy. Now, a little bit of conjecture on all of that. So when this happened, Facebook started taking ads out. They emailed everybody. They told everyone that basically Apple was trying to destroy small businesses, and, you know, implied that they were looking out for them. And Apple, of course, is saying that, no, we're doing this to protect your privacy. From what I can tell, and in my opinion, I don't think either is exactly true. I think it's money across the board. I think Facebook's concerned about the value of their ad platform, as they should be. It's a little bit devious that they pretended to be holier than thou, as though they were concerned about small businesses. You know, if they were, they'd offer better support just as a starting point. They're famous. This last year, they've banned thousands of accounts, you know, for no reason. And made retrieving those accounts really, really difficult. So I don't know how much they care about you small businesses. And I don't know how much Apple cares about your privacy policy either. It seems a little bit to me that this is a scenario where in one fell swoop, Apple has kind of become the king of the data pile, in the sense that they've still got access to all that data, with all their users. They've just made sure that nobody else does, or at least everybody else has a lot less of that data. So, you know, that's my take, perhaps cynical. I don't know what's really true. But whatever the case, it is what it is. And again, I've been at this a long time, and I've seen many supposed, you know, the sky is falling events come and go, usually with pretty minimal impact. So we'll see. I may be coming back at you in a couple of weeks saying that, you know, this was worse than I thought, and we have to completely shift gears here. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think that we will shift our gears slightly. There'll be a little pivoting going on. This is certainly something that I'll be talking about regularly on the weekly coaching calls in my Insider Circle program, if you are an Insider Circle member. If you're not and you're interested in that, you can learn more at musicmarketingmanifesto.com/Insider Circle. But beyond that, you know, all we can do is wait and see. Now, the transition should be, at least initially, pretty seamless. There are a few things that you can do and you need to be aware of. One, and I don't think this will affect most of you, but you're going to need to plan to operate with 8 conversion events per domain. So if you've got In Facebook's words, it says, you'll be restricted to configuring up to 8 unique conversion events per website domain and ad sets, optimizing for a conversion event, that's no longer available will be paused when Facebook implements Apple's app tracking transparency framework. Businesses that use more than 8 conversion events per domain for optimization or reporting should create an action plan for how to operate with 8 events maximum. Now, basically, when this change happens, Facebook is going to basically look at your activity and pick the 8 conversion events, if you have more than 8 conversion events, that you're using the most of, that they determine you are most valuable to you. So if you've got one in there that's not getting a lot of activity, but it's really valuable to you, or if you have more than 8 conversion events, you may want to go in, take a look at those, and get rid of some of the ones that you no longer want to prioritize. And again, this is per domain. So for the average musician, unless you're extremely advanced with this stuff, you're not likely to have more than 8 conversion events. For the most part, we're tracking our leads, and we're tracking our various products. So, if you've got more than 8 albums, you might have 8, but and even then, often if it's the same price point, we're using the same conversion event for various products. So if you got 8 albums and they all kind of cost the same price point, then you might want to just use one conversion event and just call it an album sold, or break it up however you ultimately deem necessary for your tracking purposes. So that's the first thing you need to be aware of. Again, not a major for most musicians. Most musicians probably don't have more than 3 conversion events, but you might. And then the other pretty simple but also kind of important thing to do is to verify your domain. This is something that you should do now if you haven't already. I teach Insider Circle members how to do this. There is a recent lesson in the members area. Again, that's musicmarketingmanifesto.com/insidercircle if you're interested. But you can also find support documents on how to do it from Facebook. But here's what Facebook has to say about domain verification. They say, complete domain verification. We recommend that you verify your website domain. All businesses should verify their domain as a best practice. However, it's important to prioritize verifying your domains if your domains have multiple businesses or personal ad accounts that own pixels. Please note that domain verification is not a new process, and businesses can complete it from their business manager. The key difference is that domain verification needs to be done at the effective top-level domain, plus 1, some stuff in brackets there, but the process is otherwise the same. So basically, what you're doing is you're going in, you're connecting Facebook with your server, essentially. You're not connecting it. You're going in, and you're either, there's a couple ways to do it. You can add a DNS record, or you can just upload a file, an HTML file, to your site, and then you click verify. And once Facebook can confirm that, okay, you uploaded this file or you changed this record, that tells us that you do control this domain, and we can now track information comfortably, knowing that our terms of service are consistent ultimately with your terms of service, because you need to be compliant with Facebook's terms of service. Or at least that's my understanding of ultimately why they're sort of wanting everyone to do this right away. So go and do that. Verify your domain on Facebook going into this. And otherwise, there's not a whole lot you need to do just yet. If you've got, what you might see, if this change ends up being a big deal, you might see your ads suddenly, campaigns that have been ticking along for a while, they could change. They could perform better, but more likely they could perform worse. But you'll know, by the way, that this change has taken place, because you'll get a little ping on your phone to update iOS 14. You'll do it, and then suddenly when you try to use apps, you'll be prompted with this little prompt. And at that point, if you see your ads start to underperform, then I would recommend ultimately going in and starting a fresh campaign and going through, the learning process again. I mean, it could be as simple as things being thrown off because the algorithm has just been forced to sort of shift gears mid-campaign. And there's a very good chance by just creating a fresh campaign, the new learning process will course correct and everything will go back to performing about as well as it was before. But if not, then you need to go back to the drawing board and re-optimize for the new algorithm, essentially. There's a lot that Facebook is doing behind the scenes to make this transition as seamless as possible. It does appear they've kind of thrown in the towel when it comes to fighting with Apple. They're pretty upset about it. They feel that Apple's not playing by their own rules. But it does appear that they've kind of thrown in the towel and they're just doing all that they can to make the transition as seamless as possible. From what I understand, they're doing things like creating sort of historical models within the algorithm so that at least for some time, what you were doing before should continue to work because they currently have access to all that data and they can create these models and rely on that information. And there's a very good chance we may want to start doing things like setting up Zaps through Zapier where we pass information through the API to make the data passing process even easier. But again, I don't think that's going to be an issue for most musicians. And that's kind of the size of it. So I wanted to address it because I've received just dozens of emails about this topic. People very concerned that, you know, they're already having a hard enough time with Facebook ads. Does this mean that the sky is falling, that they should just throw in the towel? Absolutely not, in my opinion. Again, I don't know for sure. None of us know for sure until these changes take place. But this is not the first time we've had a major, you know, potential threat to our online marketing because of some change of a terms of service. You know, SEO guys saw the Penguin update years ago, and you know what? SEO is still a thing. Email marketing was supposed to die 13 years ago, but it's stronger than ever. So might this mean some changes? It might. We may have to pivot a little bit, but I think particularly us musicians who are engaged in smaller scale advertising with minimal conversion events, where our focus is building our mailing list, you should be pretty okay. And I'll continue reporting on it. And whenever there's stuff to show you guys, I'll be sharing that with Insider Circle members. Whenever there's stuff to sort of report on to make you aware, I'll be sharing it here on the podcast. But that's my two cents. I'm sure there are going to be people who disagree, but we'll have to wait and see. All right. So thanks so much for listening. I'm planning on picking up the pace of these episodes. I've got more episodes coming soon. Hopefully this will be a busy year with lots of podcast episodes coming your way throughout 2021. Be safe, be healthy. I hope you and your families are doing okay out there. I know it's a very scary time, but do keep your chin up. All we can do is put our best foot forward and continue fighting for our dreams, you know, to get that music out there to connect with an audience, pandemic or not. All right. Happy New Year and keep an eye on the feeds because I'll have more episodes soon. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Music Marketing Manifesto podcast. If you'd like to learn more about how you can market your music using the direct-to-fan strategies discussed on this show, then head on over to musicmarketingmanifesto.com and sign up for your free copy of the Music Marketing Blueprint. Once again, that's musicmarketingmanifesto.com.